Is that better? Good morning. Can you hear me now? I want to read this. The family of Charles Wegger acknowledges with grateful appreciation your kind expressions of sympathy. Thank you for the wind chimes. Your thoughts and prayers have meant a lot to us. Thank you, Jim and Sue Luthi. So continue to keep them in your prayers as well. God gave him a long life. But even at that, we miss him, don't we? We sure do. And we're thankful for that long life. If you have your Bibles, turn over to James chapter 1. Before we get over, I want to say that we made a quick trip down to Johnson Bible College. I still call it that. They're just going to have to live with it. And got to take Zachary and Will. Raise your hands, guys. Did you have a good time? And I think they're both going to go there, so give it up to them. I sure will miss them here in church, won't you? But I know that what they do at Johnson Bible College will be for the kingdom of God. So we thank you for their willingness to do that. Thank you for preview days. Thank you for all the people that give to Johnson. I haven't saw the Graham Sports Center, that's what it's called now, until I got down there. I was like, wow, amazing. The beauty of that thing and what they've done to further Johnson University, Johnson Bible College. But if you ever get a chance to go. How many of you went to Senior Saints before? We're going to try to go again. Everybody want to go? I encourage a lot more of you to go because I think that's the greatest thing Johnson puts on. And I've been going since I was 30. So you don't think you have to be old to get down there because I've been going a long time. It's just a great thing they put on there. And the professors, I was impressed. I didn't know a lot of them, but I was impressed with what they got going on. So anyway, that's my spiel for Johnson. This morning I want to begin a new sermon series talking about our faith and beginning with James chapter 1. Faithful in our trials, faithful in our language, our talk, the way we talk. Faithful in the way we treat others. You know, sometimes we need to work on that. Can we treat others better? Most commentators agree that the book of James was written by James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, written somewhere around AD 40, and it says there that he wrote to the 12 tribes scattered throughout the nation. So they were undergoing a persecution. But here's the thing you may not know about James. He wasn't a big follower of his half-brother Christ. Matter of fact, he didn't believe that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, for the longest time until after the resurrection happened. I want you to know, things happen when somebody comes back from the grave. You begin to believe when you didn't otherwise believe, and he began to believe. And he went on to be one of the most faithful epistles in the New Testament. And Acts 15 talks about him a little bit. He was a preacher at the Church of Jerusalem and also part of that Jerusalem Council. And they don't just take anybody. You had to be somebody special. And he was somebody special. And he wrote a book that is very relative to what we're going through in our world right now. So if you get a chance, read all through the book of James several times as we go through this series. But it is also a book about joy. And we already covered Philippians, but there's a lot of similarities in how we're supposed to have joy in the midst of trials. I don't know about you, but I'm still working on that, ain't you? Having joy in the midst of our trials. So James 1, verses 1 through 4 says, James, a servant of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, or all joy, some translations say, my brothers and sisters, when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything. Everyone look at the person and say to them, count it all joy. Do that. Count it all joy. Look at the other person on the other side and say, count it all joy. All right. James says, when you go through trials in life, we're to count it all joy. Now, it has to do with some maturity here. Because you know what? When I'm going through hard times, I don't have a very good smile on my face. How about you? You count it joy? You consider it joy when you're going through these things? How many of you have ever went through some trials? Raise your hand. How many of you have never went through any trials? Hold the phone. You will. It's just a matter of time. How many of you have ever went through drama in life? If you've ever had teenagers in your life, you know what I'm talking about. Drama. We all have. And if you haven't had any drama, you will have. I don't mean to put a curse on you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. You're going to have some drama. You don't have to invite it in. You don't have to ask for it. Matter of fact, it has a key to your house. It's going to get in your door. And the drama is going to come. The persecutions and the trials and the tribulations are going to come. Aren't you glad about that? Not really. But when it comes, James says, when it comes, consider it pure joy, because that is a testing of your faith. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like drama. I don't like tests. I don't like tribulations. Matter of fact, I don't miss school one bit because I hated tests. Anyone else? I hated tests. I'm one of those guys that would study all night long and then forget what I studied the very next day. So I got to think, when they were talking about tests at Johnson University yesterday, I'm thinking, you guys can have all the tests you want because I don't miss this place one bit. I really don't. But he says here, in the midst of your tests and trials, be joyful. Be joyful. Friends, we have all kinds of tests and trials every day of our lives. When we get out of bed, you might as well get ready. You're going to have tests. You're going to have trials and tribulations. It's how you handle it. It's important. You need to smile when you're up here on stage, preaching, teaching, leading worship. Smile. Because somebody coming in the door back there might have some trials and tribulations they're going through, and they want to know that you're happy. Amen. You're happy. Smile. Even though you don't feel good that day, even though things aren't going that great that day, smile anyway. People need to see your smile. Did you know it takes, what, three times as many muscles to frown as it does to smile? And some of you are working overtime. You'd quit doing that. We need to smile. People need a smile on our face. Here's another thing. A lot of trials we have are people. Being around people. Somebody asked me, what do you like about ministry, people? What you don't like about ministry, people? That's just the way it is. I heard someone say, if it could just be me and my dog, I wouldn't have too many trials and tribulations. Well, I don't know about that. The King James translation of the Bible, you can write it down if you want. It says, count it. Count it all joy when you face various trials and tribulations. So while you're counting your blessings, and I've told you to do this before, write on a piece of paper what you're thankful for, and Thanksgiving's coming right up. Well, some of you do count your trials and tribulations. Well, when we do, we have a good side and we have a bad side. Well, here's what James is trying to say. Take those good and bad and put them together. And no matter whether they're good or whether they're bad, you know what he says? Count it all joy. Look over your neighbor again and say, count it all joy. And stop frowning. But I want you to know that's a tough one. Now, if you look up that word all in a Bible dictionary or in a lexicon in the original Greek, and you look real closely at the word all, you know what it means? It means all. It means all of it. Not partiality, not halfway, but all of it. Count it all joy in the good times of life, in the worst times of your life. As a Christian, we can count it all joy. I love Philippians 4:13. Anyone else? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I want you to note that in your Bible if you have it open, in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through, in the midst of. Does he promise you're not going to have trials and tribulations? No. But you can have joy in the midst of it all. And I know that's a tough thing, but James is talking about being completely mature. And when you reach maturity in the faith of Jesus Christ, you can have that joy that comes through Jesus Christ. I got to have an amen there. You can have the joy that comes through Jesus Christ no matter what is going on in your life. Count it all joy. If you have your bulletins, pull them out. Very simple outline for today. I want to look at the what, the when, and the why of our trials. First of all, the what is this: count it all joy. Pretty simple. Don't have to be a rocket scientist today to figure out my outline. Most people, Christians included, have those two columns. We do that as Christians. I like this. I don't like this. I don't want to talk about that. Don't bring it up. Don't talk about my trials. Don't talk about my past. We learn from our past. And I don't know about you, but it really bothers me. Here's a pet peeve of mine. We're taking down all these statues and stuff throughout our nation. I think it's terrible. Because those are learning tools. What our kids need to know about Robert E. Lee and Ulysses S. Grant and all those guys that they made statues of. And no, they didn't stand for all good, but there was some good. And we learn from our past and we bring it into our present, and our kids understand history. Have our kids forgot history? I think they have. Because we're trying to take it all away because there was some bad things. I got news for them. There's going to be bad things all the way through life. You can learn from those bad things. We need to put those columns together and be grateful in the good times and in the bad times. We need to have joy. James 1:2 from the New Century Version of the Bible says, "When you have many kinds of troubles, you should be full of joy." Full of joy. Full of joy. Sometimes I only have half joy. Anyone else? Half joy. Maybe three quarters. Maybe a quarter sometimes. But here, from this translation, it says, you need to be full of joy. From the bottom of your feet to the top of your head, you need to be full of joy. Have you ever been around people that smile all the time? Go ahead and say their name. It's all right. You know anybody that smiles all the time? Oh, I can't hear you. Name somebody. Come on, Gail. Who is it? Who smiles all the time? She's not going to say. I want you to know, these people drive me crazy. They smile all the time. It doesn't matter good or bad. It could be rain and pouring outside. It could be a tornado taking the building down, and they got a smile on their face. I just want to go up and shake them and say, "What in the world's wrong with you?" I guess they're full of joy. Like to get some of that, wouldn't you? I really would. Consider it all joy when you face trials of various kinds, many kinds. Not all of us have the same trials and tribulation. Satan knows where we lack. That's where he's going to work on us. You ever get an itch? Satan's going to scratch it. He's going to work on you. Yesterday, my daughter Gracie and Matthias Stoltz, they made some cookies. They made no-bake cookies. Anybody like no-bake cookies? That's my favorite cookies, by the way. And I like coconut cream pie, and somebody brought me some today. I'm thankful for that. But they also made some other cookies, and it was made out of what, Gracie? What was them little stars made out of? What? Okay, it was no honeycomb. All right, close your ears. It was absolutely terrible. So the no-bake cookies were awesome. You guys had some of those last night. But then I had those honeycomb stars, and they knew it. They was laughing when I bit into it, and it was bitter. Bitter, terrible. And it left a bitter taste in my mouth, and I should have ate the bitter thing first and the no-bake cookie second, but I didn't do it that way, and I had a bitter taste in my... It wasn't pure. They didn't put enough sugar in it. Amen for sugar, right? And the same can be said of the purity of your joy that is in your life. No matter what is going on in your life, you can still have joy. You need to be filled up with it. That is the marks of a genuine Christian. In 1 Peter 1:6-9, Peter says, "In these trials greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. These have come that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even through the refined fire, may be proven," here's the word, circle it, "genuine, and may result in praise, glory, honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." I want you to know, faith is a big thing. Now, Dave was right. Love's bigger, isn't it? Love's bigger in our faith, bigger in our hope. But I'll tell you what, faith's pretty big. The faith you have in Jesus Christ, the faith in the fact that you got out of bed this morning to come to worship with us this morning, tells me and it tells you and it tells God that your faith is important. That you're here for a reason. We can have faith, even in the midst of trials. Count it all joy. So the next time you go to the mailbox and get those bills out, stop frowning. Rejoice. Open them up, take them out, say, "Great, I still got electricity, I can pay it." The next time your boss says, "We don't need you anymore," rejoice. Walk out and go find another job. Have a smile on your face. And the next time your kids get out of line, and they do, straighten them out, but do it with a smile on your face and a pat on your hand. And when you get cut off in traffic like we did Friday, just smile, lay on the horn, and get an amen. Not because you're mad at them, because you don't want them to have a wreck. I thought I'd get a laugh out of that. Count it all joy. Okay, maybe not all of them. Actually, all of them. No matter what you're going through today, count it all joy. We can do that. The second is when. When we face trials of various kinds, we can be joyful. That James 1:26 is supposed to be James 1:2b. And actually, when you see 2b on a passage of scripture, it means the second half of the passage. And here's the second half. It says, whenever you face trials of various kinds. Some translations have many kinds, various kinds. But they're all okay because we all have different trials and tribulations. I have stuff that I struggle with that you may not. You have stuff that you struggle with that I may not struggle with. When we went to Johnson this weekend, we got through Nashville and they were just getting out of work. Heavy traffic. Well, Nate and Will didn't drive the whole way down there and the whole way back. But I thought about saying, let's let them drive right through Nashville, heavy traffic, see how they do. They didn't act like they was even interested. But you know what? That doesn't bother me because I'm used to the Indianapolis 500 because I used to drive it every day in Indianapolis. If you don't get in traffic and keep up, you'll get plumb ran over. And you know, you guys have been there. So that don't bother me. But some of you guys in a small town of Lawrenceville, you go crazy in heavy traffic. Raise your hand. You go nuts. Yeah, Bob's pointing to his wife. You're not used to that because you're a redneck. I'm half a redneck. I've been in Indianapolis long enough that I'm only half a redneck now, but I'm still a redneck. Amen. Praise God. That's not a trial to me. But there are some trials. I want you to take note of this. When you snore in church, that is a trial for me. I don't mind you falling asleep. Now when you start striking your watch, that bothers me. That's a trial for me. And here's one. Write it down. Do not ever clip your fingernails when I'm preaching. That is a pet peeve and a trial and a tribulation and a purpose of stopping my sermon, which I actually have done before. Here's another one. You ready? Look around. Don't be on Snapchat, texting, TikTok, Instagram, or email while I'm preaching up here. That is a trial for me. So put your phones away, kids, unless you are on your Bible app. Do I need to go on? Now, I know some of these things sound petty, and some of them aren't real trials of life, but you know what? We can laugh this morning. And if you're going through something this morning that's really, really, really heavy, I want you to know that you can still smile. There can still be joy in your life because I want you to know something. No matter what's going on in your life, someday you're going to be in heaven. Someday, that no matter what this life has to throw at you, good or bad, I want you to know someday you are going to be walking the streets of gold with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are going to be together, and there's never going to be a dull day, a trial, a tribulation ever again. And the Bible doesn't say there won't be tears up there. It says He'll wipe every tear away. And then after that, there'll be no more tears. So we can smile when we think about what Jesus Christ did for us in the cross. And we can smile because of what He did 3 days later, because we have hope beyond this world. We have hope beyond the grave. And when you go to a cemetery, you can still smile because you know that for the Christian, death has no hope for that person. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world you'll have troubles, but take heart, be joyful, because I have overcome the world. I wish He kind of finished that for the lesser faithers, so it would read something like this: in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, because I've overcome the world, and so will you. So will you. If you're a Christian, you can be hopeful. In Matthew 5:11-12, He said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Rejoice and be glad. Can I say it again? Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So this week, when someone insults you, persecutes you, waves at you with one finger, just smile, because it'll do something for them. It'll confuse them. They don't have any idea why you're smiling. They flipped you off and you're smiling at them. They're going to think, man, that guy must go to church. That didn't bother him at all. When someone says something bad to you, Just smile. Smile. My sister, bless her soul, she's very good at this. And if you've ever hung around with her, you can insult her, you can say bad things about her, and she'll just smile. She's one of those people you'd like to shake. What's wrong with you? But you know why I think she does it? She has the joy of Jesus in her heart. Just smile. Smile from ear to ear. It'll confuse them to death. And it just might point them in the direction of Jesus. Wouldn't that be great? The third and final thing we see here is the why. Why? Because the testing of your faith develops what? Perseverance. Perseverance is maturity. James 1, 3 through 4 says, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, perseverance must finish its work so that you may be, encircle it, mature. Mature, not lacking anything. Mature. If I were to ask how many of you have ever had a test or a trial in life, how many of you would raise your hand? Every one of us. But if I were to ask how many of you are not lacking in your faith one bit, you don't have any kind of inclination about failure in faith whatsoever, I'm strong in my faith, nothing can move me, nothing can shake me. If you were being honest, you could not raise your hand. So why does God allow us to be tested? It's very simple. So your faith will be mature. If you don't get anything else you get this morning, get this at least. Write it down. None of us, and I mean none of us, know if our faith is really legit unless we've been tested. Write it down. You don't know if your faith is legit until you've really been tested. Is that true? We're all tested. Is your faith legit? When trials come and tribulations come, when things aren't going good in your family, when things aren't going good at work, when things aren't going good at the church, don't quit. Amen? Let your faith be tested. God allows that to happen. Let the trials and tribulations come. And when they come, you learn from those trials and tribulations, and it makes you stronger, not weaker. I know some people, they will quit at the drop of a hat. They'll quit their job, they'll quit the church, they'll quit their family, they'll quit at the drop of a hat because they have no maturity. They have no base to their faith. And when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Let me ask you a question this morning. What if God gave you everything you prayed for? Think about it. I heard that, Bill. What if God gave you everything you prayed for? You know what you'd be? Everybody say this. I'm a spoiled little brat. That's exactly what you would be. You'd be a spoiled little brat, and when the trials and tribulations came after everything God gave you, you'd be spoiled. You just want more. I don't want no trials and tribulations. I just want stuff. I want good things. I want good things to happen to me. I want good things to happen to my family. I want good things to happen to America. I want good things to happen to my church. Guess what? It's not always going to be that way. And when trials and tribulations come, you stand up strong. Stand up strong. I don't know why bad things happen to good people sometimes, do you? But I know this. I know that when they do, those people, I've seen great strength. You know anybody like that? They're still coming to church. They've had something very terrible, maybe even tragic, come in their life, but they're still coming to church. They're still working on the maturity. They may not have arrived. I don't think we'd ever really arrive until we get to heaven, do you? We're always working on our faith. We're always working on being joyful, even in the midst of trials and tribulations. But when we get to heaven, it'll all be worth it. Maybe that person that you love is no longer here. Maybe they left way too early. Can't wait for heaven, can you? Can't wait for that day. But when trials and tribulations and tragedies strike, you can handle it. And God doesn't tempt you, but sometimes He allows things to happen to you because it is a testing of your faith. 1 Corinthians 10:13, write it down, it's not on your bulletin. God does not tempt anyone. Can I say it again? God does not tempt anyone. I want you to be clear about this. He does not tempt anyone. Instead, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, here it is, he provides a way out so that you can, here it is, the word, stand up underneath it. Now, I like the wording that Paul used here is to stand up underneath it, because this, for me, this is what it means. You can stand up underneath that trial and tribulation, but the trial and tribulation is still here. It's right here. Whether you tap into it is up to you. You know your trials. You know your temptations. You know places you shouldn't go, things you shouldn't do. Don't go there. Stand up underneath of it. But he says this, he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. In other words, he's not going to put on you more than what you can handle. Some of you can handle a lot because you've been through a lot. Maybe others can't handle quite that much. In the Old Testament, the prophet Job was tested by God to see how legit he was. He was not tempted. He was tested. There is a difference. The professor does not give you a test to make you fail. Right? He does not give you a test to make you fail. He gives you a test to make you better so that you will learn. But you know what? The Bible says God sure did allow Satan to tempt Job. He said you can do what you want with him, but you can't take his life. And man, he tested him in every way, shape, and form. He took his money. He took his family, all but a nagging wife that he should have took. He took his health. The Bible says he would scratch the sores with pottery and glass he could find because the pain was so intense. But here it is. He never cursed God. But his wife told him, curse God. Just curse God. Job said no. And his four friends, were they really friends? Not really. They walked away and Job kept his integrity even in the midst of trials and tribulations. He wasn't perfect. But he came out pretty good on the other side. For me, I've been done a long time ago. Anyone else admit that? I've been gone a long time ago. I didn't have the faith that Job had. He's one of the most faithful men in the entire Bible. We always put Abraham up there. Don't forget to put Job up there. And when you get to heaven someday, you ask Job, how'd you do that? The Lord. That's how he did it. Friends, God's going to allow you to go through some temptations. Bible says it. But he's not going to be the one to tempt you. He may be the one to test you, but he's not going to be the one to tempt you. And we need to be ready. When we get to James chapter 3, we're going to look at the importance of preaching and teaching and what some of you do to the kids and the adults in the church. And how you need to be mature in your faith. When you open God's word and you dive into it, you need to know what you're preaching. You need to know what you're teaching. I heard just last night some disturbing news about one of our leaders in the church. They think it's all right to have an abortion. Friends, I want you to know that's a devastating sin. That's going to come into judgment someday. And when we've got leaders and teachers in the church that think it's okay to have an abortion, shame on you. Shame on you. Paul says in Ephesians 4:11 through 13, it is Christ that gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to equip God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until it has reached full unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and becoming mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I want you to know it's important that I put time into my sermons. It's important that if you're a teacher, you put time into your Sunday school lessons. If you're in small groups, take out the time, the extra time to put in, because you are teaching the Word of God, and make sure you handle it correctly. Can I get an amen? James 1:12, listen. He goes on to say, blessed, happy is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And when he is tempted, no one should say, listen, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desires, he is dragged away and enticed. Then, after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. God had nothing to do with temptation. And if you struggle with alcohol, don't go by a tavern. If you struggle with looking at women, don't go by a topless bar. If you struggle with food, I had some coconut cream pie today. I got to work on that. Don't go by a refrigerator all the time. There's a lot of struggles that we have in life. Stay away from them. The Bible says, flee, run as fast as you can. And trust me when I tell you, when you have trials in your family, at your work, and at your church, there's a real temptation to quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Stick to the fight. Let God use you in spite of your trials and your tribulations, because God needs you. I want you to look over your neighbor one more time this morning, and I want you to say this. You ain't perfect. Say it louder. You ain't perfect. All right, that's enough. I feel like the kid trying to get order in the classroom. You know what? Even though we're not perfect, even though we fail many times, I want you to know that God loves you. And no matter what you've done, no matter how far you have fallen, I want you to know there is room for forgiveness. And there's only one sin in the Bible that is not forgivable, and that is blasphemy. And if you're here this morning, you haven't blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And I want you to know that no matter what has happened to you, we serve a God of forgiveness. A God that even in the midst of our trials, our tribulations, and our downfallings, He still allows us to make a U-turn, to come back around. God loves you more than you'll ever know. And He doesn't want you to quit. So the next time you have trials and tribulations, consider it pure joy. Say it with me. Consider it pure joy when you face trials and tribulations. Let's pray together. Lord, we live in a depressed world. And when we look at the things going on in our world today, it's depressing. And there's many trials, and there's many temptations, and there's many downfallings. But Lord, help us realize that because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, we can come back. Even in the midst of trials and tribulation, we can have pure joy. Pure joy. And we can stand up underneath any temptation that comes our way, and we can win if we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross. And all God's people said, let's stand and sing.